Today, it's my great pleasure to spend time with Jay Villani, who is the owner of Local 188 Sonny's and Salvage Barbecue and co-owner of the newly opened Bunker Brewing Company here in Portland, and also the father of a couple kids and the husband of a wonderful artist named Allison. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Everything got so soft as soon as we hit record.
You know, it's that soft voice thing.
Yes.
You know, we work with that a little bit. I'm just used to it with my patients.
Nice.
You know, if I came in with like big booming voice, I think that'd be a little intimidating for everybody.
It would be.
Yeah. So with our soft voices, I'm really fascinated by the fact that you started 18 years ago with Local 188.
We did.
And you've become like this little megalopolis.
Oh,
in all the best ways.
Yes, and I've been very fortunate in this town. You know, we started as a group of artists who just wanted to hang out with each other and have a place to show our artwork, and it kind of grew organically into what it is today.
Now tell me why it's called Local 188.
My wife and I had a little gallery prior to opening 188 called the Pleasant Street Collective, so we were just sticking with workers' movements and themes. It really had nothing to do with like the farm to table movement or buy local thing. It was like a union hall, you know, and we just wanted to go with that theme, a place where people can gather and hang and be who they are, you know. And again, it just kind of snowballed into what we have today.
So you originally came from Staten Island.
I did, via New Mexico. It's where I met my wife, out in New Mexico. I was traveling out west and landed in Santa Fe and met her, and then she got accepted to graduate school back in the city, so I followed her back east, and when she finished graduate school, we went camping up in Millinocket and drove through Portland on the way back to her parents with some lobsters and said we would give it 5 years. And here we are, 24 years later.
Well, it's kind of impressive that you've managed not only to stay together for 24 years, but also have these two children who are 15 and 13, so
they
right are in the teenage years. And then you have all of these businesses. So, and you're both artists. It's a lot of kind of energy moving around there.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not... there's some friction sometimes with it, you know, but again, it's not all me. It's who I've been able to surround myself with. You know, I have a lot of great people that I work with who help make this a reality. So, you know, I can't take all the credit for it.
So how did you get interested in food initially?
Well, you know, being an artist in New York, the only work I could really find was restaurant work. I just had an aptitude for it. You know, I had a lot of good chefs who told me if I pulled my head out my ass, I'd be good at it. You know, and I didn't want to be that guy. You know, when I was a kid, you know, there wasn't really any Food Network or, you know, cooking shows. It was just bitter old guys with cigarettes hanging out of their mouths over a stock pot. You know, this is what you got to look forward to, kid. And it's like, no. But I was just good at it. You know, I was the kid who got fired on Wednesday and rehired back on Friday because I could handle volume. You know, it just started washing dishes. One day a salad guy didn't show up. You know, can you do this? It's like, I'll do it, chef. And then the grill guy didn't show up. I can do that, chef, you know. And that's how I progressed. And really, the impetus for opening my own restaurants was that I could make just as little money working for myself without someone berating me all day. You know, so I just got tired of working for pricks is basically what happened. You know, so, and here we are today. I'm sure some of my employees would, you know, dub me that, but I don't think so.
So it is an interesting industry that you work within, because you're right. I think the glamour of food is somewhat recent.
Oh, yeah. It's within the past, you know, 10 years or so, it's really just boomed, you know, from like a Hollywood perspective. It's crazy.
But there's still, I mean, it's hard work. It's long hours. It's late at night. And it's hard.
Yeah. I think what the real return is the feedback you get from people on a nightly basis, you know, for better or for worse, you know, the meal was great, it was just subpar, you know, you deal with that on a daily basis. It's it, and it's also a long haul thing. It's a marathon, you know. It's not a get rich quick scheme by any stretch of the imagination, you know, with rising costs, you know, margins are really low. You know, and that's why we have three of them, you know, because it's hard to really make a go with just one. So, you know, but we like the challenge. You know, I really like designing rooms. You know, I've always approached our businesses as sculptures, you know, the energy, the kinetic motion, how they flow. You know, it's, you know, that's what really turns me on about them.
Well, if you are designing each of your businesses as a sculpture, then how would you describe each of them?
Well, you know, local is always going to be my favorite because it was the first one. You know, Sunny's is a very kinetic. You know, it's, you know, the bar scene, the food, the type of food that they're doing there. You know, and Salvage is just like a party. You know, it's just it's like a mobile, like a Calder mobile, just constantly spinning and whirling and twirling and so much going on. And you know, it's a lot of fun.
And then what about the one that you most recently opened?
The brewery? The brewery, you know, was a way for me to pay it forward. Actually, Creston, my partner, the brewer, Creston Sorensen, he was leading our bread program for a few years. You know, he was working out of Sunny's and supplying our restaurants with breads, and he was just a home brewer and kept bringing in beer, and the beer was great. And after a few pints one day, he asked me if I was interested in owning a brewery, and seemed like a really good idea at the time. But, you know, it was just, again, someone did that with me, you know, like my partner Matt. When I wanted to open up something, I had someone there who, you know, gave me a little money, gave me some faith, and we were off and running. So it was kind of nice for me to do that with Creston. It was a good way to pivot also, you know. You know, restaurants are hard and breweries are hard too, but it was just a nice transition from, like, you know, retail to production. It's the kids who are brewing down there are awesome to be around, and it's just a really it's a fun experiment right now.
My experience as a waitress was brief and very instructive, and also incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it's a hard gig.
It was very, very difficult. But more of my experience lately has been actually going to restaurants.
Right.
And I think that what a lot of people believe is that the food is the thing. But I think food is very important. But
sure.
What I think is most important for me is the feeling, is the vibe, is
sure.
how you're treated, and what the relationship is with the server, and what the server's relationship is with everyone else.
Yeah, there has to be connectivity. You know, that's very important to me. You know, that our front of the house and our back of the house are on the same page, and that we don't take for granted that people are coming in our doors and spending their money, you know, and they're here for an experience and what we're trying to provide for them, you know. And I want to get that across to the customer. You know, that's very important to me, that people leave happy, you know. And, you know, we get some feedback that they're not always happy, you know, but that's the feedback you really got to focus on. You know, everyone can blow smoke up your ass. Oh, this is great, what a wonderful meal, blah, 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 that's awesome, you know. But the person who's upset, you know, you really got to pay attention to it. And how do you correct that? You know, you're not going to please everybody every time. You know, some people do walk in the door and are just miserable. I mean, your hands are tied, you know, but there's got to be a way to correct it, you know. And I'd rather have people leave happy, or at least know that we tried to make them feel better about their experience, than just throw your hands up and say, oh, well, you know, I couldn't help you. So that's never a good thing.
Well, and it does, at least my experience is that a little goes a long way. If something goes really wrong and somebody just apologizes or does something very small, like, would you like to
a dessert?
A dessert, exactly.
Or a gift certificate,
yeah.
You know, or it's on me tonight, you know, try us again at a different time. It's, you know, a little effort. It's kind of the same philosophy with my kids. A little effort goes a long way, especially in math, Sonny. That's the name of my son, by the way, so it's kind of trite that Sonny's his name, Sonny, and there you have it.
Well, I was going to ask you about that next, so now that clarifies things for me.
Yeah, that's where that came from.
So where, how has it been trying to, if you have Local 188, which is 18, so I'm going to just call this your first child.
Yep.
Then you have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, and then you have a few other children that are restaurants.
Sure.
How does that all work?
Well, I call them all my kids, you know, even the waiters, the cooks, everyone, they're my kids, you know, so everyone vies for your time. And that's, you know, I've learned to listen over the years. You know, when I first started, I was kind of clueless. So I was, someone called me a screamer and a control freak. You know, I had to be my way. But I quickly learned that I couldn't do it by myself, you know. And I think once I figured that out, we really started to blossom, you know, by empowering people and letting them do their thing and bring to the table and harness what they do best, you know. And I think that's been my greatest attribute as an employer, that I've been able to recognize what people do really well and harness that energy and put it in the context of a bigger picture, you know, and to help push and make things grow.
So how do you make that transition from, we'll just call it in quotes, the boss,
yeah,
to the boss who listens? Because some people just want to say, listen, I own the business. We're all going to do it my way. And if you don't like it, just leave.
Yeah, that just doesn't work that way, you know, or it doesn't work that way for me. You know, I'd rather do it collectively as a group, you know, again, going back to the collective, you know, that those principles are very important to me, you know. Listening and empowering people. It's kind of like Jedi mind tricks, you know. I can get out of you what I need with you thinking you gave it to me. And that's important, you know, and making you feel good about it, though, at the same time. You know, that's the other thing. People have to feel good about what they do and what they bring to the table. You know, if I have a general manager who brings something up and I don't pay attention to it, that doesn't do anyone any good, you know. You have to be able to listen and say, okay, implement it. If it doesn't work, you know, maybe we'll try it this way. Or if it worked, great, you know, I would never have thought of doing it that way. Wonderful, you know. So it's all about making people feel good about themselves.
It seems that the hospitality industry, perhaps more than some other industries, has a lot of people who are doing it for a diverse set of reasons.
Yeah.
So some people, it's good for the mother's hours are good for their kids, and for some people they want to spend time on their art. And,
sure. It's very nomadic.
Yeah, so how does that work as the boss who ultimately has to create or work with somebody to create a schedule and get staffing done? How do you work with the sort of the ebb and flow of people's interests and needs?
You just gotta understand, you know, what people do need, you know, and that's the important part of running a company, you know. It's, you know, how can I help you succeed? You know, it's not, you know, do it this way, blah, blah, blah. It's how can I help you, you know, and make us better, you know, and I think that approach has served us very well over the years. You know, as far as scheduling and things, you just gotta be open to it, you know, and you find, you know, that you put the right people in the right position who are committed for the long term, and you understand that these people are here for, you know, to do a certain job and to pursue other ambitions, and that's okay. I mean that's basically why most people start waiting tables, is because they have a fix they need to support, you know, whether it be art, music, or writing, or comedy. You know, it's just that's the name of the game.
Well, and it also, I've noticed more and more people who are really, they're professional servers. So they're people that take, especially in this area, I would say, people who take great pride in being able to offer a really wonderful experience.
Sure.
And they do it very intentionally.
Well, that might change with the tax tip credit that is going away, you know, because people, you know, do it because the money's good, you know, that they could X amount of hours devoted to their job and then X amount of other hours to vote to their passions. But, you know, with that compression coming down, and, you know, that might not be the trend moving forward, unfortunately. You know, it's gone are the days. Soon will be gone the days of making 25, 30, 35 bucks an hour waiting tables. You know, everyone's going to be that flat rate, and it's going to be really disruptive. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how we as a industry handle that here, you know, because things have been going so well for so long. You know, moving forward, it's going to be a hard thing to tackle.
So how has this been tackled in other parts of the world?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. You know, I read studies about Seattle and how it's helped and how it hasn't helped. And in New York, same thing. You know, it's just, you know, until it really affects us at home, you know, we're girding ourselves for it. That's for sure. We talk openly with our staff about it, you know, and that changes are coming, and we need to be aware of it. And, you know, it's prices around town are going to increase, and it's gonna be interesting. I mean, I think, you know, I was pro the minimum wage increase. I think it's very important. People make a decent living. You know, I think the when it came to the tax tip credit, they were, you know, really trying to fix a problem that didn't exist, you know. And I understand the argument that the little towns up north that don't have the population to really make a server get, you know, a decent living off tips, but you could always pay them more. You know, you didn't have to address the whole, you know. It's just, it's interesting, you know, scary and interesting at the same time.
So what other scary and interesting things have you observed during your time as a business owner, maybe just during your time on this planet?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm getting old. That's a scary thing. You know, I turned 50 last year, and I'm looking back at my life, and I'm very grateful. And, you know, the 35 years, if I have 35 years left, you know, I'll be fired up.
I don't know if that's wood you just knocked on, by the way. I think it's laminate or something.
That's okay. That's all right. It'll, it served its purpose. So, you know, just the getting old part, you know. You know, watching my kids grow has been wonderful, and, you know, watching the people around me grow. But, you know, I'm ready to, you know, I've been working in a restaurant since I was 15 years old, you know, and doing this. So 35 years is in like chef years, that's like 300, you know, it's a long haul. So, I'm thinking about how do I step away from it, you know, what are my exit strategies, and how do I put things in place to where it could still keep going with, you know, without me really there, you know. So those are the uncertainties that I'm facing right now.
So what are you coming up with?
Fishing. I'd like to go fishing. I like to have a turquoise blue water and a fishing boat, and that's pretty much the my exit plan at the moment. How am I going to get there? I don't know, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much turquoise blue water we have.
Yeah, no,
in
it's
Maine.
No, it's I'm Caribbean bound. That's where I'm going to be.
But you do have a love of the Greenville area.
I do. It's my kids and I, we've all gone up there with some other families. We've been going up there for years, camping and fishing and taking advantage up there. It's very gorgeous up there. It's beautiful. You know, it's quiet, it's green, water. It's pretty cool.
So when you're up there and it's quiet and there's not as much going on, do you ever crave the excitement of your business?
No. No, there's usually a campfire involved with copious amounts of wine and other adults who have other kids, and we're sticking them in tents and, get away from us. You know, so it's always a hoot when we go up there. So it's I shouldn't say it's that quiet, but it's peaceful on a different level.
So it sounds like you still have that social connection even when you're up there.
Oh, yeah. Everyone needs that. I need it. You know, it's what keeps me going. People.
Well, you and I were talking before we came on the air about sort of things happening for a reason, that people's paths cross, and you don't really know where things are going to go sometimes, but you have to just kind of acknowledge that it's not the end.
Yeah, you know, things happen for reasons, you know, and everyone I've met and been associated with, I'm a firm believer in that the reasons that brought us together, though they might not be clear now, will eventually come, you know, will be made aware of it. You know, I've had a lot of people who've come and go over the years, and a lot of people who have been in management, and, you know, that even for however brief it is, you know, the reason, you know, there was a young woman who used to work for us and who shall remain nameless. And, you know, she was just very, not abrasive, but her management style was very cold and, you know, just forceful. And I sat her down and said, listen, you know, you're a very strong woman, and I akin you to like a piece of rebar, and I'm the grinder that needs to take those burrs off it, you know, and for better or for worse, for however long we're together for, you know, that's my goal with you. And she no longer works with us, but I have a very good relationship with her now outside of that. And I think it was because of that conversation. You know, it's important to be nice to people, you know, or at least compassionate and understanding of what others need. You know, you're not going to get anyone to work for you if you don't understand what they need, you know, or do what you need them to do without, you know, being supportive. So it's very important.
And feedback is also important.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like sometimes we're in other work settings, we don't necessarily get any sort of feedback unless it's like a structured 90-day review.
No, good, bad, or indifferent. It's very important. Communication's key. You know, we get together every week and we discuss what's going on, and sometimes it's pedantic, sometimes it's really productive, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's heated, you know, but we always get together and we discuss, so it's very key.
When I was having a conversation recently with another couple that own a restaurant, they were talking about the restaurant space as being kind of an interesting other space. So you have your home space, you have your workspace, but then you also have this other space that you go into, where you have, you know, you have a meal, you have a communal experience. And I'm wondering if that's the type of sculpture that you've been trying to create all these years.
You know, the greatest feedback, or the best feedback I ever got about local was from a couple who used to drive up from Connecticut just to eat with us, and they felt like they were in their living room, you know. So I guess that's, you know, I wanted to create rooms where people wanted to be, you know, or a room that I wanted to be in, you know. So that's very important to me, you know, that type of environment, you know. You know, tapas bars, and the impetus for local was like a tapas bar, and tapas bars are supposed to be very lively, loud, you know, energetic, interactive. You know, that's very important to me, that people are able to interact, whether it be with a server, whether it be with food, whether it be the people sitting at their table, you know, whether it be they're sitting at the counter, looking at the kitchen, you know, interacting with the cooks and talking to them while they're working, that social aspect of it, it's very important to me. You know, and I think we accomplished that at all three of our restaurants, you know. Definitely at Sunny's, you know, with just the kinetic and the vibe with the bar and the open kitchen concepts. Local is same. The barbecue is just a big, giant, open, you know, it's like a hoedown in there most nights, you know. And that's I think it's great, you know. And the downside to big rooms is when there's nobody in them. And they're empty, and it's like, oh boy, you know, what's going on here? But, you know, fortunately, that hasn't been the case.
Have you benefited from Portland becoming more of a food hotspot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, it has its pluses and minuses. You know, 18 years ago, there weren't that many of us. So, you know, gone are the 200, 250 cover nights, night in and night out, you know, and there's... But it makes you be more aware of your game and trying to stay on top of it, you know, to still be relevant 18 years later. I'm very fortunate, you know. I feel very lucky, and I don't take it for granted, you know. So, but yeah, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, that we're known for, you know, being a food city. It's pretty awesome.
And there also seem to be, at least my experience, I live in the suburbs, and there's a lot of traffic back and forth, so there seems to be more people who come and stay over the winter. It doesn't seem to be that it shuts down so acutely as it once did.
Yeah, I've, you know, another thing where local has benefited, we were, when we opened up in Longfellow Square, it wasn't really a destination neighborhood, you know, so I was very dependent on local people, so I never really felt the pinch in the wintertime that more touristy neighborhoods felt. But I think that has kind of waned over the years with all the, you know, there's so many new hotels that have opened up and more people come in, you know, year round to enjoy what's going on. See, you know, it's not just, I mean, we do have a season, but it's not as dire as it once was, like, you know, January 1st. You know, it's like a ghost town. But, you know, we've managed to keep the doors open, so.
You've also done some interesting things. I know during the fall, one of the things I liked the most was you did Monday brunches, which I thought, well, that's pretty creative. That,
yeah.
You know, most people will do a Sunday brunch, but you'd keep it open during the fall.
Well, you know, that was all for people who actually worked in, who were working brunches, who couldn't go out to brunch. You know, all right, go out to a brunch on a Monday on your day off, you know. We're going to revisit it. We closed it down in the wintertime, you know, just because economically didn't make much sense. You know, it's, you do have to pay attention to that. You know, that's, it's very key. I think once we started focusing on that management aspect on things, you know, again, that wasn't me, that was my team, you know, it was my partner Gary, Matthew, you know, those guys took that ball and started running with it. I had too much to deal with just trying to keep the food going and the vibe going, and I'm not very creative. Math was a very good strong suit for me, not actual math, so you know, having people who actually understood math was really good, you know, to have around. But we'll revisit it Mondays and lunches again.
How about your art?
You know, I did a piece last year at my buddy Sandy was an ed tech, is an ed tech up at the Maine College of Art. And I took a continuing class with him and did a little piece that's now in my backyard. I've been getting more into it again now that I have a little bit more time. You know, I don't have to be at the restaurants as much. My friend Kenny out of TIG Pro, he built all our tanks for the brewery and lets me, you know, pillage his scrap pile so I could tinker around in there. But I always said, you know, to Allison, my wife, that, you know, the restaurants were going to be a springboard for me to get back into it, you know. But, I had to provide for my family somehow, and that was, you know, restaurant work was the only way I knew how to do it. So I always told people that, you know, I'm sculpting two little kids now, you know, and trying to polish them before kicking them out of the house. No. That's not a good thing, is it? Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, I think that's actually a really valid point. There's a lot of us who go into artistic pursuits and don't realize the enormous outlay of energy required in raising children, or really any outward pursuits, but specifically raising children. And I think it was actually useful for me to see my children grow and to realize, oh, I have more time for my own writing again.
Sure.
I still have these other jobs. They're still going to pay my mortgage. But yeah, the creative energy, it just shifts. It moves.
It does. You know, my wife just rented a studio space around the corner here on Franklin Street, and she's super excited about it, and I'm excited for her for it, you know. And but it's nice to have, to be able to do that now, you know. As when they're little, you just don't have the time for that, and the focus is them, and now that, and their focus is, you know, you, but as their focus wanes from you to their social engagements and what they're doing with their sports and their peers, and they no longer want to be around you, you know. It's like, oh, my son used to be so far wedged up my rear end. It was, you know, it was like, girl, what are you doing? And now it's like, you don't want to hang out with me anymore. What's going on? You know, so it's, but it was inevitable. It's nice to see them grow into, you know, young, mature people.
Yes, I've also enjoyed with my own kids just seeing seeing the evolution.
Sure.
And it's actually surprising to me the things that I've learned about them and myself as they've gotten older.
Oh yeah.
It's more rewarding than I realized.
Oh yeah, you know it's
when
it's,
you're in the middle of it, you're not really sure.
You know, you're shaking your fist at them at home and you're pulling your hair out of your head, and then you hear from people outside how wonderful they are and oh what great kids, and it's like, well, who are you talking about? You know, but it's if that's the case, then I guess we did our job, right?
Well, I appreciate your all of the effort that you've put into the restaurants.
Thanks.
I haven't met your children. I'm sure they're wonderful. I'm sure your wife is wonderful, but I know that your restaurants are wonderful, and I spent a fair amount of time in them. So I encourage anyone who hasn't been there to go down. I don't know why, if you live anywhere in this area or even visit, I don't know why you wouldn't know about one of these restaurants.
Well, it's too kind. Thank you very much.
Well, it's delicious food, really wonderful people. Obviously, you work with Spencer Albee as our audio producer, and he's a musician, and he also has worked with you for, I guess, 10 years off and on. So I'm guessing, knowing that how much I like Spencer, there must be something really great, some great energy.
He's a good kid.
Yeah. I've been speaking with Jay Villani, who is the owner of Local 188 Sunny's and Salvage Barbecue, and co-owner of the newly opened Bunker Brewing Company, and also father of two and husband to Allison. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.